Well, I just want to thank God for the opportunity for being up here and putting on Brother Joe's heart to ask me. And I've had something in it ready for a while now. The Lord just laid something on my heart a while back and was singing the song Standing on the Promises. That's what I asked Brother Joe to sing as it goes along with my message. And that's what, you know, kind of want to get into a promise, the title of it, A Promise to Claim in the Time of Trouble. And we'll add a very familiar verse in Romans 8:28. Amen. We'll be reading out of that, very familiar. Everybody will be familiar with the verse. But as he was talking about a while ago, I'm celebrating my anniversary. And I thank God for 14 years of being married to a very good lady. Amen. And as I said a year ago, standing up here, a few words, I said, and I thought, you know, that nobody, I don't believe any human being could come and have complete unconditional love. But I believe my wife comes very close. And there was a time before I got saved in 97 that she certainly could have put a condition on that love and left me. But I thank God for that unconditional love, and she stayed with me, and I thank God for that. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity to stand in your presence, Lord, and in the presence of these people, Lord, and in this pulpit, Lord, that we don't take it for granted, Lord, that this is a holy place, and there's a place where you've set aside to preach your word and to expound upon your word, but nothing that can be expounded on or preached on that can come from me, Lord, that can come from my mind or my flesh or my thoughts. It has to be from your spirit, Lord. It has to be from your word, Lord. And I pray that you would fill me with thy spirit and fill me with thy word, Lord, that I may be able to preach what you have me to preach. Lord, if somebody's here that's lost and undone without you, that they will not leave this building tonight without accepting you as Savior, Lord. And the ones that are saved, Lord, just help us and guide us, Lord. Fill us with thy spirit. Fill us with thy power. Fill us with thy courage, Lord, that we may be able to go out these doors with a new vigor and a new desire to reach the lost at any cost, Lord. And we'll give you the honor and give you the praise for that's where it needs to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, before I get started, I just had a thought on my mind the other day. Brother Dustin, could you stand up for a second? You know, I thank God for our men and women who's gone off to Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world, and I thank God for Brother Dustin. And, you know, I got to thinking the other day, kind of a humorous note, that, you know, when you left here, and I guess you've heard many times that we pray that God would put a hedge of protection around you, and I imagine you know what that means. And I'm sure you and your wife thank God for putting that hedge of protection around you. And being a saved person, being a Christian, he knows what that means. But I imagine that his fellow soldiers that are not saved and not know Christ as their Savior, do not know all the things about God, they probably sit there and wonder and say, if they asked you, Brother Dustin, about if you're fearful, you might have told them, no, I'm not. I may have fear, but I'm not worried. And they say, why are you not worried? And you probably told them that they're praying that God will put a hedge of protection around me. And I just can imagine that person maybe knowing who God is, but not knowing what you're talking about, would probably look at you and probably say, okay, let me get this straight. The people back in Tampa are asking this God who created the heavens and the earth and all of the things that we see, this all-powerful being, they're asking him to put a bush around you. I just kind of wonder. I just thought about that the other day. And thank you, Brother Dustin. You sit back down. And I just think, you know, a lot of people that we know, we say, you know, we pray that God will put a hedge of protection. I imagine that unlost person, he would probably tell him, why don't you pray, ask him to pray that God will put a concrete wall around you. That might help out a little bit better in Iraq and Afghanistan. But Brother Dustin knows what they're talking about, and that God did put a hedge of protection around him. That's why he's here today. And we thank you, brother, for your service. But Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible tells us, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, we want to, you know, underline know all things. I mean, if you want to underline things, you know, especially you want to put a double underline that word know, K-N-O-W. You want to double underline that word know. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we was just singing that song a while ago, standing on the promises of God. And one of the verses says, standing on the promises, I cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, amen, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. And I thank God for that we can stand firmly on a foundation that God has given us. And we can stand on his word and we can stand on the promises no matter what comes our way. Now, I'm sure Brother Dustin was over in Iraq and he saw some trouble. I'm sure he saw some things that he didn't like. And I'm sure the fear did probably come now and then, when he maybe saw bullets flying or bombs bursting and maybe men and women dying over there. And even children, you know, Iraqi children die every day over there. And he knows the trouble there. And everyone here that's under the sound of my voice knows what trouble is. I'm sure trouble has come your way. Trouble has come my way many of times. A lot of times trouble has come my way by my own doing, my own cause. But yet trouble comes our way. But God gives us this promise in chapter 8 of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that a promise that we can claim in the time of these troubles. Because the Bible tells us, Paul writing this to the Romans, says we know all things.
Amen.
And what things do not fall under the heading of all things? All things is pretty self-explanatory. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. That's in Jesus. We might have peace. But in the world, it says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now here we go, is another promise. Here's another promise that we don't really like. It's a guarantee that we're going to have tribulation in our lives. You know, the Bible says that we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have trials, we're going to go through the fire. But just like the three Hebrew children, we want God to be walking in that fire with us. And of course, we have troubles. We have troubles on every hand. This world is full of troubles. And every time we walk out that door, we're faced with troubles with our families, with our friends, with our job, with our bodies that may break down on us. We have troubles. And the devil is out there as a roaring lion seeking him whom he may devour. And he's looking to devour you. Because you're a Christian, you're the called elect. I mean, he can't take you to hell, but the people that you can have influence on, to witness to them, he's already got them, and he's looking to take them to hell, and he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from being an influence in their life and taking them to heaven. So he's going to bring trouble in your life. And guess what? God lets him do that sometimes. Just like Job, we see in Job, God lets him do that. And of course, we have a few points here that I want to try to bring out. And we have first the certainty of the promise. Now, this, like I said, it says, and we know all things. So you can write a line, and you can write this, if you've got a little space in your Bible, a little line here, and on one side you got total unbelief. And on the other side you have certain knowledge, certainty, and not, which is knowledge. When you become certain of it, it becomes knowledge to you. And everything in between them too is faith. When you have faith that there is a God, but I think at some point in our Christian life, I think we've bounded past faith, because I know there's a God. He has proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. So I've gone beyond faith, and I have knowledge now that there is a God, because He has proven Him. He has given me the evidence of things not seen and showed me that there is a God. So anywhere between total unbelief, where you just, you know, a total person that just, you know, I will not believe, I don't believe, I just can't believe in God, and to a certain knowledge that we as Christians have, knowing there is a God. Everything in between is faith. Now, it may be a little faith, it may be a lot of faith. Of course, most people most people in life don't even reach the grain of a mustard seed yet. So that little faith, you know, is a great thing. You know, you can move a mountain with a little faith. Right. And you can do a lot of things with faith. But in this verse, you don't need, the text here does not even talk about faith. You don't need faith to even believe this promise, because this promise is a certainty. It's guaranteed. It has God's stamp of approval. You can stand on a solid rock and say that I know all things work together for good to them that love God. Number two, we have the first, the certainty of the promise. Number two, we have the circumference of the promise. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible tells us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And we'll stop there. A peculiar people. And if you got a little spot in your Bible, I want you to write a little circle. That's a little bitty circle in there, and I want you to put a little dot in the middle of that circle. And in that circle, I want you to write the words, all things. If you can do that, it'll be a helpful illustration to you one day. But the circumference of the promise is all things. Now imagine that word peculiar. It doesn't mean weird or, you know, a freak or anything. You know, as we use in our vocabulary nowadays, that we would call that person peculiar because he's acting weird. But peculiar, the definition here means belonging exclusively to someone. Now, if you look at that circle and look at that dot is peculiar to the circle. Now, that dot belongs to the circle, because the circle is in circumference, it is circling it. And the believer in Christ, the believer is peculiar to Christ. We belong to Christ. So you can put yourself, you put your name next to the dot if you got room. That's me. And you can put the circle as being Christ. Now, Christ is the circle. Now, you are peculiar to the circle. You are peculiar to Christ. You belong to Christ. You belong to God. He has bought you with a price. He has bought you with the price of His own blood. He gave His life, and now we belong to Him. And in so doing, all things, now remember, all things are in that circle. Now I believe that when something comes your way, it might be a death in the family, it might be a car wreck, it might be cancer. You could think of the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life, or even think about the worst thing that could happen to you in your life, and you can mark it down in that circle. It falls under the headings of all things. It could be cancer. It could be a death in the family. It could be a very bad auto wreck that leaves you up in the hospital for a month. But you can put that, guaranteed that you can put that into that circle, because Jesus Christ, which represents the circle, you represents the dot, which is peculiar to the circle. God, Jesus Christ, will not let these things happen to you unless He allows it. If you have a car accident and it lays you up in the hospital for a month, then Jesus Christ has said, I will let this happen to him. I will let this happen to her, because I know that I can use these things for their benefit, because they love me and they are called according to my purpose, and I will use it for their benefit. I will take these things, no matter how bad, maybe no matter how good. It can be a good thing. We always, as human beings, we tend to separate everything. We want to say, okay, we have good things over here, so we can just, woo, we can rejoice. So we have bad things over here on this side, so we better cry, and we better moan, and we better mope, and we just better just go off in our little corner and have a pity party, because bad things are happening in our life. And guess what? Bad things have been happening ever since Adam and Eve. Jesus Christ himself went through some bad things. I mean, he had his hands pierced to a cross and thorns to his brow and beaten 40 times with a cat of nine tails. I think that falls under the category of bad things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now I believe, you know, it's not only talking about temptations that we think about being tempted to do sin, but also it's talking about trials, tribulations, and different things that come our way, that God, you know, you may go through bad things, but God, in letting it into the circle, letting it by Him, He knows with His infinite knowledge that it's not going to kill you. Or it may, if He doesn't take your life, it's not going to be so much that you cannot bear it. Because He's there. He's going to let it by. He's going to let it go into your life. It may be a car wreck. It may be cancer. It may be leukemia. It may be a death of a mom, a death of a dad. You know, my mom and dad passed away. You know, you just put it in that category of bad things. And then you don't think, our human thoughts just kind of displace it. And when we say, we can't deal with it, we just can't deal with it. God, you know, why are you letting, that's the big question. That's the big question of the human spirit, the human ideology is why? Why, God, did you let this happen to me? Why did you let my son die? Why did you let my mama die? Why did you let my brother die? Why did you let me get cancer? God says, all things work together for good, that then the love of God, love was pretty much love me. You love God, He will use these things in your life. I know it's hard to stand up and say, woohoo, I got cancer. Oh, thank God I got cancer, because God's going to use it for His honor and glory. That's probably a very, almost an impossible thing, scenario to imagine. You're whooping it up, thanking God for something bad in your life. But yet, if we take this promise and believe it with every fiber of our being, we can do that. Believe it or not. We can look at the God and say, God, you've allowed this into my life, and I know at some point in life, you're going to use it for your honor, or you're going to use it for my benefit. You know, there was a man, Dr. Lee Robertson. He's a preacher, preached into his 90s. Preached up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and led many people to the Lord. And he had a daughter named Joy. And he got a call from coming home one time, and that his daughter Joy died. And he was, you know, he was just on his way home from preaching. And then he made up a camp called Camp Joy. And in that camp, thousands of kids have gotten saved. Now, you know, he could have went along, got over here in this section and moped and pity partied and said, God, why did you take my daughter? But no, I mean, I'm sure he was sad and he cried and he was downhearted, but he took it over here and made Camp Joy. And now thousands of kids are going to be in heaven because of what he did, and because God used the circumstances in his life to not only benefit him, but benefit many more people. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, is being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that's telling me that God is working in my life. You know, there's a song out about, you know, God still working on me. You know, put a sign upon my heart that, you know, God is not finished with me yet. And he made the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars. And, you know, that old kid song that we used to sing years ago. And so doing that, you know, it tells about that God, in that song, it tells about God using us and molding us and getting us and you know, talking about not being finished yet. A little sign saying not being finished yet. That God's still working on me. And I thank God. And God is constantly, until the day of Jesus Christ, he's going to be working on me. Or working on the Christian people. And until I die or till the rapture takes place, he's still going to be working on me. He's still going to be working on you. And sometimes he has to let the bad things, quote, the bad things come in our lives to get us where he wants us to be, to make that sign be able to say a finished work. Number three, we have the cooperation of the promise. Now, there's a famous illustration that a lot of preachers have used about making biscuits. You know, you take biscuits, which is great, I love them, a little gravy over, great. But you separate the biscuit before you make it, you got flour, you got lard, you got baking powder and all these different things. You try to eat them separately, it tastes terrible. You know, you don't want to even, you know, what do you want to think about tasting lard, you know? You know, a big old spoonful of lard, that's just great, you know? But I don't think so. But you put these ingredients together, and it makes good old, you know, cathead biscuits and different things like that for the little gravy. It tastes good. But it took them different ingredients cooperating together to make a very good thing. And I think, you know, all things that we talked about, all things are not good. As we talked about, we have this category of bad things. You know, it's all things are not good. Cancer is not good. Leukemia is not good. You know, my mom and daddy dying is not good. You know, it's not a good thing that somebody has to die. But as in the making the biscuits, you know, God is using these different things in our life, the good things, the bad things, and he brings them together. He molds them together just like them biscuits. He gets his hands in there, and he gets the Holy Spirit working in there, and he starts molding this stuff together. I mean, he even uses not only your bad circumstances, your good circumstances, he uses the bad circumstances of the people around you. He uses the bad circumstances of everybody in the world. He starts working these things together. He uses even the stars and the planets, the whole universe is working together at his fingertips. He brings it together. So he said, because of these people, my people who are called by my name and who accepted my son as their savior, in them I will perfect my work. I will bring these bad things. I will bring the cancer. I will bring the leukemia. I will bring the death of a family member. I will bring this. I will bring that. I will bring it together. And if they trust in me, they know that things will be beneficial to them and the people around them. Number four, the conclusion of the promise. You know, you look at a tapestry. You know, you see an old lady maybe taking yarn and doing the little needlework and stuff. And if you look on the bottom of it, it's a pretty ugly picture, you know. Nothing's there. But you look on the top side and see a finished work. It's beautiful. And on here, on this side, the earth, the earthly side, everything seems ugly. Everything seems bad. But you look at it from God's point of view, on the heavenly side, everything's beautiful. Everything's working together like He wants it to work together. Even if we are obstinate, even if He knows that we're sinful people, He knows that sometimes we're going to be stubborn. He knows that sometimes we're going to fall away and we're not going to follow Him. But He says, I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to work in their lives. I'm still going to let things, good things and bad things, come in their lives to influence them and to influence the circle around them. Because there's a lot of people, not only do I need to benefit, but I need to be, God needs to use me to get to the lost people that are around me. And if I don't let God use these bad things and good things in my life, and I don't go and have that little pity party, and God start asking God why, then He can say, I can use you, Alan. I can get to the lost at any cost, and not only be for His honor and glory, but be for my benefit as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible quickly says, in a small portion of this verse, giving thanks always for all things. So we have all things that's in the circle, the good, the bad, the ugly, and they all are in that circle. Jesus Christ has led them in that circumference. He led them in. He has given permission for these bad things, these good things to come in our lives. You know, one thing I got thinking about earlier today, I said, wow, all the things that happened in my life that are bad, all the things that happened in my life that are good, if I would have put a list down of all the bad things, write them down, it'd probably be a decent long list. But I started thinking, God said, what about that list of things that haven't happened to you? What about all the things that are bad and that I could have let happen to you, that I didn't, that I kept you safe, that I put that hedge of protection around you, and I kept you safe, and I kept you warm, and I kept you in my arms? He said that list would be a much longer list. And I thank God for that, because I take that for granted every day, that what God is, that, you know, running down the road, especially here in Tampa. I come from a little town of no more than 10,000 people up in Georgia. You get to a stoplight, and if there was three people at a stoplight, that would consider a traffic jam. I get down here and I'm going crazy because the roads are nuts and the people drive nuts, no offense, because now I'm one of the people driving nuts. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying. But anyway, God uses these things, and I can give thanks for all things. I mean, and I'm sure it's going to be hard if the Lord lets cancer come to my life tomorrow. It's going to be a hard thing to start giving thanks for that all, that for that. But Lord, how can I give thanks for that? But we need to pray and ask God, and this poem kind of helps out. It says, my Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. He's all-knowing. He's perfect. I still got a lot to learn. He put on that how much I need to learn over here in the basket. Well, that basket, well, it'll be endless. You put over here in the basket of things I know, well, it'd be a little thing. Not so much. But what God knows, it's infinite. He knows everything in my life. He knows everything in my head. Look at here. I pull out a piece of hair. He knows it just fell out. Woo! Glory!
Amen.
Makes me happy when God knows these things. Guess when I stomp my toe, God knows about it. But He's going to use it for His honor and glory and my benefit. So when you stomp your toe, or maybe worse, you might get sick. You might get cancer. You might have a auto accident. Take a moment. Don't have a pity party yet. Just ask God, are you using that in my life? And then think about the circle. All things. All things. The last two things here. The condition of the promise. You remember the conversation Jesus had with Peter. Do you love me? No, Peter said yes. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And then he asked him a third time, do you love me? Yeah. And then Peter was all up in arms. Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs, you know. And that's the same way with us. It says, the verse says, for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And if we love God, the condition of the promise that we love him and that we do his commandments. If we love God, we're going to get out there and we're going to witness and we're going to try to get people saved. And in so doing, feeding his sheep, God will let these all things work together. And then the last one, the cause for the promise. Everything in that circumference. You know, you're the dot, you're peculiar to the circle, which is Christ. You are peculiar, you're owned by Christ. He's letting these things happen in your life. And he says, all things are making us more like him. It says, for whom did foreknow, in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And get this, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I believe what I say in there, and if I'm wrong, you correct me, but I believe that when he gets us in that image of himself, then we become that firstborn of many people that have gotten saved because of us. You know, God has used us in our realm of influence, that I have the influence on this person or that person, and I need to talk to that person. They get saved, and that person gets saved, and that person gets saved. Then this verse comes together and says, because I've gotten you to that point of being in my image, you are the firstborn among many brethren. And over here in verse 18 of chapter 8, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings, now, you know, the Bible talks about sufferings here, and we put everything in the bad category as sufferings. God knows that we're suffering in a lot of areas. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But I just believe that whatever we're going through, the Bible tells us that it cannot be compared to what God in his glory, you know, is going to be revealed in us. I mean, he can use us for his honor. He can use us for his glory. And what area that is the lost. I mean, we was reading, as Brother Joe talked about a while ago, when he was reading the prayer requests, the part of the lost people on there, there's nothing more important than that. And if there's anybody here, I don't know, I mean, as far as I know, everybody's had a testimony being saved here. Now, certainly it was a message to save people and hopefully an encouragement to you to know all things are working for your good. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, you don't get that promise. I'm sorry, but you don't get that promise that all things are going to work together for good because you don't know Christ as your Savior. Now, you got to think today about where your position is if you're lost. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that the gates of hell will not prevail. And I believe if you're lost, I believe you're behind that gate, the gates of hell, because they already have you. You're already on your way to hell for an eternity. And the only way to get out of the gates of hell and to have eternity with heaven, we as Christians need to go against the gate. You know, it's not when the gates of hell should not prevail. It's not a defensive mechanism. It is an offensive mechanism. And we take the word of God, the sword of the Lord, and we fight against the gates of hell. And the gates of hell will not prevail And if God is working in our lives and working all things for His honor and glory for our benefit, then we can be a light to lost souls, and they, by what we go through, they can benefit and get saved and know how great our God is. And the gates of hell will not prevail. If you're here lost, you're behind that gate. The devil himself has forged chains so heavy. He's got them around your neck. He's got them around your waist. He's got them around your ankles. And he's going to pull you into the depths of hell for eternity if you don't wake up and know that God is God, and that there's a hell and there's a heaven, and there's an eternity. You're an eternal being. You're going to live forever in heaven, or you're going to live forever in hell. You have a decision to make tonight. If you're lost, you need to come down here right now, tonight, and accept Christ as your Savior. Amen. Because one day you're going to stand before this holy God, and He's going to see them chains about your neck. He's going to say, He's going to look in this, in His Lamb's Book of Life, and He's not going to see your name because you've not accepted Christ as your Savior. The only way into heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior. Any other way is hell in a lake of fire for eternity. All things work together for them that love God. You can't love God unless you accept Him first. Because He already loves you, and He already died, and He already paid the payment. And all you have to do is come down here and just accept it. Accept that free gift. Amen. And then you can claim the promise that all things work together.
Amen. All things work together. I wrote, God can turn tragedy into blessings when we trust Him. But God can turn blessings into tragedy when we fail to trust Him. God has blessings for us. And sometimes what we look at as being tragedy can end up being the greatest blessing our life's ever known. It's hard to see it, because we have finite eyes. We can only see what we see. But God's already in our tomorrow. Let's trust Him. Standing on those promises. Let's stand on these promises tonight, all right? Let's stand to our feet, if you will. I'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.